الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, the author he mentioned, حفظه الله تعالى أركان الحج والعمرة. أركان الحج والعمرة, the pillars of الحج and العمرة. And أركان is the plural of ركن. And the word ar-rukn in the English language, it means pillar. And linguistically, in the Arabic language, huwa janibu shay al-aqwa minhu. Janibu al-shay al-aqwa minhu. The strongest side of something. And some of the people of Nara, as they mentioned, huwa ma la yakumu shay'u illa bihi. Huwa ma la yakumu shay'u illa bihi, something cannot be established except by way of, or huwa ma la budda minhu, something that must be present, something that must be present. So linguistically, a pillar like we see in the masjid, and without the pillars, then the building would not stand. If we were to ask about the strongest and most sturdy portion of the structure, we would say definitely after the foundation, it will be the pillars. It will be the pillars. So in examining the evidences with regards to these sacred rites, the people of knowledge have found that these actions and rites are not all one category with regards to its obligation of being fulfilled. There are actions that are considered lazimun, and yakuna laziman la budda minhu wa laysa lahu badal. يعني ما يكون لازما ما يكون لازما يعني ما يلزم الناسك والاتيان به وليس له بدل. Any of the actions or rites that are an obligation, they're mandatory, the person performing these rites, he must bring it, and there is no substitute for it whatsoever. Meaning that if a person, he did not perform it in the proper time or the proper manner, then the rites would not be established. The rites will not be established, no matter what he said or what he did. The pillar, it must be there. The pillars, they must be there. So this is the pillar. This is the rukn or the arkan. And then there is ma yalzamu al-ityanu bihi wa lahu badalun liman fatahu. There is that which is an obligation for the one performing these rites to bring and to establish. But if he were to leave it for one reason or another, then there's a replacement that will rectify that affair if he will bring it. And he can rectify that issue by bringing something in its place. By bringing something in its place. And then there are actions التي ليست بلازمة. ليست بلازمة. There are actions that are not an obligation. If a person, he were to bring them, it would be considered perfecting those rites, and he would have a greater reward, and the deed will be done in a more perfect and beautiful and complete manner. But if he were to leave them, then this would not affect the correctness of those rites. The correctness of those rites. So then from here we see that the people of knowledge have divided the actions and rites of Hajj into three categories. Arkan, wajibat, wa mustahabbat. Arkan, wajibat, wa mustahabbat. Arkan are the pillars. Wajibat are the obligations. Wa mustahabbat, or the sunan, these are the recommended affairs. So the arkan, they must be present. If they are left, then if they are not left and performed in the proper manner and proper time, then there's no hajj nor umrah. There's no hajj nor umrah. And there's no way to rectify that affair. There's no way to rectify it. If they're lost, then the rites are lost. If they're not performed, then the rites are not performed. Then after that, also very high in the obligation, this is called wajibat. Other actions and rites, they're called wajibat. And a person, he must bring them, and he must perform them, and it's an obligation upon him, and it's not allowed for him to be negligent with regards to that, and it's not allowed for him to leave them on purpose. It's not allowed for him to leave them on purpose. But if something happened and he was not able to perform one of these wajibat, one of these obligations, then he can bring something in its place as an expiation for that. As an expiation for that. So even if he was not able to bring it in the end at all, he could still rectify that, and his rites will still be correct and performed properly if he brought the replacement for that obligation. And then there are other rites, that are considered recommended mustahabbat, and they're from the completion and the perfection and the beauty of those rites, but they're not obligatory in any circumstance. So now we discuss these issues beginning with the most important, and that is al-arkan. So for this reason, the author, he says, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَرْكَانُ الْحَجِّ وَالْعُمْرَةِ. Arkan al-hajj wal-umrah, the pillars of al-hajj and al-umrah. Arkan al-hajj wal-umrati hiya adati yajib al-ityanu biha wa la yakfi an yu'ta bi shay'in badalan anha. That the pillars of al-hajj and al-umrah, they are those things that it's an obligation to perform them, and it's not sufficient to bring something in place of them. It will not be sufficient to bring other actions in place of these pillars. وَلِلْعُمْرَةِ ثَلَاثَةُ أَرْكَانٍ هِيَ الْإِحْرَامُ وَالطَّوَافُ وَالسَّعِي. And al-umrah, it has three pillars. Al-umrah, it has three pillars. And they are al-ihram. And they are al-ihram. Al-ihram, as we will see inshallah, is the intention of entering into the sacred rites of al-hajj or al-umrah. The intention of entering into those sacred rites of al-hajj or al-umrah. This is the first pillar of the three pillars of al-umrah. The second one, wat-tawaf. Al-tawaf is to go around the Kaaba seven times in the manner prescribed. Was-sa'i. Was-sa'i is to go back and forth between Safa and Marwa seven times in the manner prescribed. So these are the three pillars of al-umrah. Al-ihram, wat-tawaf, was-sa'i. Al-ihram, wat-tawaf, was-sa'i. So he says, حَفِظُهُ اللَّهُ وَهَذِهِ الْأَرْكَانُ أَرْكَانٌ لِلْحَجِّ مَعَ رُكْنٍ رَابِعٍ وَهُوَ الْوُقُوفُ بِعَرَفَةٍ. And these three pillars here, which are the pillars for Umrah, they're also pillars for Al-Hajj, along with a fourth pillar. And that is being present in Arafah on the day of Arafah, in the proper time. In the proper place. So therefore we see that the pillars of Umrah are three, and the pillars of Hajj are four. And that three of them, they're shared between the two. That which is different from the two is that the fourth one is Arafah. So in Hajj, you have to make Ihram. And likewise, in Umrah, they're both Ihram is a pillar for both. And in Hajj, you have to make Tawaf. And likewise, in Al-Umrah. And Tawaf is a pillar for both. And likewise, as-sa'i, you have to, in Hajj, you have to make as-sa'i. And also in Umrah, you have to make as-sa'i. So these three are pillars for the Hajj and the Umrah. Al-Ihramu, wa-t-tawafu, wa-s-sa'i. Al-Ihramu, wa-t-tawafu, wa-s-sa'i. And then Hajj, it has an additional fourth pillar that's not found in Umrah. And that is al-wukuf bi-arafah. Al-wukuf bi-arafah, to be present on the day of Arafah and the proper time in that place known as Arafah. So these are the pillars. There are three for Umrah, and also those three are pillars for Hajj as well, along with the fourth pillar as has preceded. So he says now, mentioning them one by one with some brief details. He says, وَالْإِحْرَامُ هُوَ نِيَّةُ الدُّخُورِ فِي النُّسُكِ. وَالْإِحْرَامُ هُوَ نِيَّةُ الدُّخُورِ فِي النُّسُكِ. Number one, the first pillar was Al-Ihram. So now we discuss it. He says, Al-Ihram huwa niyatu ad-dukhuli fi nusuk. This is the intention to enter into the sacred rites. Al-Ihram is the intention to enter into the sacred rites. This is the masdar of the verb ahrama yuhrimu ahrim ihraman. Ahrama yani dakhala al-hurma aw dakhala al-haram aw dakhala al-haram. And so the person, he makes al-Ihram, he is now intending to enter into the sacred state. He's intending to enter into the sacred rites of Al-Hajj or the sacred rites of Al-Umrah. So the people of knowledge, they mention, Barakallahu Fikum, that the intention with regards to these sacred rites is four aspects. It's understood in four aspects. An-niyyah, the intention that's related to the rites of Hajj and Umrah with the rites to the manasik, there it's understood in four different lights. So we do not want to mix these affairs. The first one, an-niyyatul amma, a general intention. A believer, he has a general intention. For example, right now he would love to make Hajj, he would love to make Umrah, or maybe he's thinking maybe this year he wants to make Hajj. He has the intention this year to make Hajj. yani right now in his land. Or maybe after Hajj, he has the intention to make Umrah. Yani he's thinking about this, and this is something he's intended, and he's making preparation for. This is a general intention. This is a general intention to do good, which is a good intention, alhamdulillah. Which is a good intention, alhamdulillah. But this is not called al-ihram. And this is not the intention that will put a person in the state of al-ihram and enter him into those sacred rites. We understand? Yeah, do you understand? So this is a different intention. This is a general intention, to have the intention to make Hajj once in a lifetime, to make Umrah, or even to make it this year, for example, or in the next week, for example, or next month, to make Umrah, for example, after that. And he has the intention to do this. This is niyatun amma. That's related to the rites of Hajj or Umrah. The second one is niyatu at-taqarrub ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Niyatu at-taqarrub ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second aspect of the intention is the intention of seeking to draw near to Allah. So this intention here is a condition for every action. For every action, a condition for the acceptance of every action. This intention here is the condition for the acceptance of every action. So with regards to performing the rites of Hajj and Umrah, we have seen before that one cannot do that showing off or wanting to be heard. Rather, he must purify his intention and do it for the sake of Allah. So this is another aspect of the intention that is related to the sacred rites of Hajj and Umrah. We're not talking about this one right now either. You understand this? We're talking about the ihram. The ihram, what is al-ihram? Huwa niyatu al-dukhuli fi nusuk. It is the intention to enter into the sacred rites. So the third aspect is this one here. Niyatu al-dukhuli fi nusuk. This is the intention to enter into those sacred rites. This is the intention to enter in those sacred rites, and that's what is intended here. That's what is intended here. That's what is intended here, meaning that a person, he would intend at that moment that he's considering himself in the sacred rites of Hajj. He has now entered into the sacred rites of Hajj, or he has the intention now that he has entered into the sacred rites of Umrah. This is the one that's being discussed now. Al-Ihram, huwa niyatu dukhuli fi nusuk. The fourth aspect of the intention related to these sacred rites is niyatu naw'in nusuk. Niyatu naw'in nusuk, the intention for the type of those rites. Is he performing Hajj or is he performing Umrah? Is he performing Tamattu or is he performing Qiran? Is he performing Qiran or is he performing Ifrad? So this is an intention related to the type of the action. We understand this affair? And in general, we know that the intention is from two aspects, Niyatul Ma'murillah wa Niyatul Amal. Niyatul Ma'murillah, yani the one which is Ikhlas, and this is Niyatul Taqarrub ila Allah Azza wa Jal. وَنِيَّةُ الْعَمَلِ This is to intend the action, meaning that you must distinguish the action that you're performing. Are you performing Hajj or are you performing Umrah? Because we have seen that in performing Hajj, you have to make Ihram. And performing Umrah, you have to make Ihram. And performing Hajj and Umrah, both you have to make Tawaf and Sa'i. And the likes like this, and the likes like this. So which one are you performing? Which rites are you intending? Are you intending at Hajj or are you intending at Umrah? Because it has to be identified. And likewise, if you're performing Hajj, there's three different aspects of Hajj. There's three different rites and manners to perform those sacred rites, known as Tamattu, or Qiran, or Ifrad. Or Ifrad. So you have to identify these affairs likewise. These issues here are not intended right now. Right now we're discussing al-ihram. And wahuwa niyatu al-dukhuri fi nusuk. Niyatu al-dukhuri fi nusuk. The ihram is having the intention that a person, he entered into those sacred rites. He intends, with this intention, he believes that now he has entered into the rites of Hajj. Or he has entered into the rites of Umrah. Of Umrah. So al-ihram is not clothing that you wear. Al-ihram is not clothing that you wear. There's marabis al-ihram and there's niyatul ihram. There are a big difference between the two. Some people, they mix them up. And they think that putting on the clothing of ihram is the ihram. That's not the issue. The ihram is something in the heart. It's an intention that a believer, he would intend, and he'll believe by way of that now he has entered into the sacred rites of Hajj and he is ready to begin performing those rites. Or he has entered into the sacred rites of Umrah. And he's ready to start performing those rites. And we'll find out likewise, the one who enters into the state of al-ihram, from the wisdom of this term here, al-ihram, having the meaning of entering into the al-hurma, al-haram, al-haram, meaning that there are things now in that state that were permissible before, but become now, because of the ihram, impermissible. So these things begin whenever a person enters into that sacred state. And entering into a sacred state is called al-ihram. is called al-ihram. It's called al-ihram. Ahrama bil-umrah. Ahrama bil-hajj. Ahrama bil-umrah. Ahrama bil-hajj. Ahrama bi-umratin wa hajjin. Like this, to enter into that sacred state. To enter into that sacred state. So the general intention, this is not intended. The intention to do it for the sake of Allah, no doubt the ihram has to be for the sake of Allah. But we're talking about now entering into that sacred state. So he says, Hafidhullah, wa ihramuhu wa niyyatu dukhuli fi nusuk. So al ihram, it is the intention to enter into the sacred rites. Fala yan'aqidu al ihramu illa bi husul al niyyati fil qalb. So the ihram will not begin and start properly except by having the intention in the heart. By having the intention in the heart. لِقَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. And this is based upon the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the deeds are by way of the intentions, and every individual, he would have what he had intended. رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِي وَمُسْلِمٌ عَنْ عُمَرِ ibn خَطَابِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. It's narrated by al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab رَضِيَ اللَّهُ. And who the Shaykh, he says, Hafidhullah, waqala ibn al-Munzir fil ijma', and Ibn al-Munzir, he mentioned in his book al-Ijma'. Al-Ijma' is a work where the author, he gathered the places where the Salaf have a consensus with regards to the rulings of jurisprudence and the actions of the religion, and from that the chapter of al-Hajj and al-Umrah and these nusuk. So he's referring to this work here. And he mentioned here in this work, rahimahullah, وَأَجْمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ إِنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُهِلَّ بِحَجٍّ فَأَهَلَّ بِعُمْرَهُ أَوْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُهِلَّ بِعُمْرَهُ فَلَبَّ بِحَجٍّ أَنَّ اللَّازِمَ لَهُ مَا أَقَدَ عَلَيْهِ قَلْبُهُ مَا أَقَدَ عَلَيْهِ قَلْبَهُ لَا مَا نَطَقَ بِهِ لِسَانُهُ لَا مَا نَطَقَ بِهِ لِسَانُهُ. So in this book by Ibn al-Munzir, known as al-Ijma', the consensus, he says that, and they have a consensus, and they're all in agreement, yani the fuqaha of the Salaf, that whoever intended to make Hajj, but he pronounced Umrah, he intended to make Hajj, but he pronounced Umrah, or he intended to make Umrah, and he pronounced Hajj, then that which is incumbent, and that which will begin, that which was in his heart, not which was pronounced by the tongue. So if someone, he had intended to make Hajj, but accidentally he said Umrah, Labbaik Allahumma Umrah, and then he remembered later, Subhanallah, I want to make Hajj. Or if he wants to make Umrah, he said Labbaik Allahumma Hajja, Labbaik Allahumma Hajja, like this, and he forgot. Or he wants to make Hajj on behalf of his mother, for example, or Umrah on behalf of his mother, for example, and then he forgot to pronounce that, or on accident he pronounced his father. He said his father, but in his heart he wants to perform it on behalf of his mother. Then what is considered is that which is in the heart, not that which is pronounced on the tongue. There's a consensus with regards to this, and this is based upon the narration that has preceded Alhamdulillah. So again, the ihram is the intention. So maybe a person will find, inshallah, the Shaykh, he'll mention these affairs, but just to mention briefly, maybe a person, he will put on the clothing of ihram, maybe he will prepare, he will take a shower, and he will trim his nails, and he will shave the hairs on his body that need to be shaved, and the likes like this, and he will cleanse himself properly, and he will strip himself of his normal clothing, and he'll put on the izar and the rida, he'll put on the garments of ihram. But he's not in the state of ihram. He's not in the state of ihram until he intends. So one, maybe he would do that. Maybe he would do that in his hotel. Or maybe he would do that in the airport. Or maybe he would do that in his home, according to his circumstance. Preparing for the ihram, but not entering into the state of ihram. Preparing for the ihram by taking a shower, making the ghusl, cleaning his body, putting on some oud or some misk and the like, some itr on his body and the like like this before, in preparation for the ihram, and taking off his clothing and wearing the izar and wearing the rida, wearing the lower garment and wearing the upper garment in the manner properly. He's ready to go. He's in the clothing and everything, but he himself is not in ihram. He himself is not in the state of al-ihram, because this is an intention. So it's a difference between preparing and wearing those garments and getting ready for that state and actually entering into that state. Everybody's with me. Everybody's with me. So again, the first sentence clarifies it all. وَالْإِحْرَامُ هُوَ نِيَّةُ الدُّخُورِ فِي النُّسُكِ. الْإِحْرَامُ هُوَ نِيَّةُ الدُّخُورِ فِي النُّسُكِ. So that al-ihram is the intention to enter into those sacred rites, into the sacred rites. So more details will come, inshallah. We take them briefly now. And then he's going to make some beneficial commentary and explanation. Inshallah, we will read. Inshallah, we will read. So the second pillar here, وَالطَّوَافُ طَوَافُ الْإِفَاضَةِ لِلْحَجِّ بَعْدَ الْإِفَاضَةِ مِنْ عَرَفَةَ وَمُزْدَلِفَةَ لِقَوْلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَلِيَطَّوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ. So he says now, الطواف. والطواف طواف الإفاضة للحج بعد الإفاضة من عرفة ومزدلفة. ومزدلفة. The طواف here, now he's referring to the طواف, which is the pillar for Hajj. Because the al-tawifa are more than one type. There's a tawaf that is a pillar for Hajj. And there's another tawaf that's a pillar for Umrah. And there's a tawaf that is considered an obligation. And there's a tawaf that's considered recommended. And we talked about these different levels, right? The tawaf has all, there's a tawaf for all aspects. There's a tawaf that's a pillar. You must bring it. And the tawaf of Hajj is different than the tawaf of Umrah, and the times are different. The times are different, so they're different tawaf. The pillar that's a tawaf for Hajj is different than the tawaf that's a pillar for Umrah. But they're both tawaf and they're both pillars for those rites. And then in Hajj, likewise, there's a tawaf that's wajib, and there's also a tawaf that's mustahab. That's mustahab. Right now, we're talking about the pillar of Hajj, which is tawaf. So this tawaf is known as tawaf al-ifada. Tawaf al-ifada. And the time to perform that, the Shaykh is saying, is ba'da al-ifada min arafata wa muzdalifa. This is after leaving from Arafah and Muzdalifa. After leaving from Arafah and Muzdalifa. And Muzdalifa. So the time for this ifada will be after the middle of the night. After the middle of the night, on the night the Hujjaj spend in Muzdalifah, which is the night before the day of Eid, So they will not be able to perform this pillar before that time. One cannot perform Tawaf al-Ifadah, which is a pillar from the pillars of Hajj, before standing on Arafah, nor before standing on Muzdalifah, nor before being at Muzdalifah. Rather, he must first go to Arafah. And then after Arafah, he will go that night after Maghrib to Muzdalifah. He will spend the night there after midnight. But even more better, after Fajr, he will then make the Tawaf al-Ifadah. The Tawaf al-Ifadah. This is the time that this rite, the time that it's allowed to perform this rite begins. And Ibtida waqt al-Ifadah. Tawaf al-Ifada. When does the time for that begin? It begins after standing in Arafah and then moving to Muzdalifah. After that, then when he is allowed to make this pillar. Not before. So he says, and this is based upon the statement of Allah the Most High, وَلِيَطَّوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ. And let them make the tawaf around the ancient home. And this is an order here, so therefore it's a clarification that it's an obligation. ولحديث عائشة رضي الله عنها أنها قالت حججنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأفضنا يوم النحر فحاضت صفية فأراد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم منها ما يريد الرجل من أهله فقلت يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنها حائض قال حابستنا هي قال صلى الله عليه وسلم حابستنا هي قالوا يا رسول الله أفاضت يوم النحر قال اخرجوا رواه البخاري ومسلم This is also in the clarification that الطواف الإفاضة is a pillar from the narration of Aisha رضي الله عنها that she says that we made Hajj with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and we performed طواف الإفاضة on the day of النحر. And we performed the طواف الإفاضة on the day of An-Nahr, which is the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah, the day of Eid. Yawm An-Nahr, yani Yawm Al-Eid, Eid Al-Adha. It's known as Yawm An-Nahr, Yawm Al-Ru'us, Yawm Al-Hajj Al-Akbar, Yawm Eid Al-Adha. This is the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. So she says that we made Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we made this tawaf, tawaf al-ifada, on the day of An-Nahr, yani on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, on the day of Eid. And Safiya, she got her menses. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wanted from her that which a man he wants from his family. And he meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asking about her because he was wanting to have sexual intercourse. He's asking about this affair. So she said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed she's on her menses. Indeed she's on her menses, meaning this is not, it's not possible. Indeed, she's on her menses. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now he asks, Habisatunahi, is she holding us back? Is she holding us back? And he meaning that if she's on her menses now, that if she didn't make tawaf al-ifada, which is a pillar from the pillars of Hajj, we're not able to leave. We're going to have to wait here until she becomes clean so she can make tawaf al-ifada, because her Hajj will not be correct otherwise. Otherwise, this is the point here. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking, oh, she's on her menses. Is she holding us back? Is she keeping us back here in Mecca, not able to leave yet? قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَفَاضَتْ يَوْمَ النَّحْرِ. They said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she made tawaf al-ifada on the day of An-Nahr. On the day of An-Nahr. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, اخرج, then leave. Then you can leave. This is narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So the Shaykh is clarifying the meaning of this and the aspect of evidence. فَقَوْرُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ حَبِسَتُنَاهِ. So the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, is she holding us back? Is she holding us back? أي حَبِسَتُنَا فِي مَكَّةَ حَتَّى تَطْحُرَ وَتَطُوفَ طَوَافَ الْإِفَاضَةِ. Meaning is she holding us back in Mecca until she becomes clean from her menses in order to make tawaf al-ifada? In order to make tawaf al-ifada, and this is the evidence here that it's a pillar and it cannot be left. It cannot be left. And one would not be able to say, oh, well, she's on her menses, khalas, let's just leave it. Just leave it. She has an excuse. Like she doesn't have an excuse. That's the point. Because it's a pillar. What rukn huwa ma la budda minhu wa ma la yakumu shay'u illa bihi. Illa bihi. So this is something that must be performed, and this is from the evidence of that. This is from the evidence of that. So the Shaykh, he says, حفظه الله, قال ابن قدامة في المغني. Ibn Qudama, he mentioned in his great work, Al-Mughni. Ibn Qudama from the Hanabila, رحمه الله, and his work Al-Mughni is from Al-Fiqh Al-Muqarin. He mentions the madhahib of all of the fuqaha, specifically the four madhahib, but likewise of others as well. And he emphasizes and clarifies the evidence of each one. And he also makes tarjih in clarifying that which one is strongest in the evidence, but he is no doubt from the Hanabila, the scholars. And many times he is establishing the position of the Hanabila, but he will mention all of the positions and the evidences that they bring. So this is a great work. This is a great work. It's maybe 15 large volumes, 15 large volumes, beginning with Tahara and ending in the laws of judgment, and criminal laws and the likes like this. I mean, the whole aspects of fiqh, all aspects of fiqh. It's a great book. He says in this book here, of course, in the book of Hajj, وَهُوْ رُكْنٌ لِلْحَجِّ لَا يَتِمُّ إِلَّا بِهِ لَا نَعْلَمُ فِيهِ خِلَافًا وَلِأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ قَالَ وَلْيَطَوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ. So Ibn Qudama, he says, and referring to this tawaf here, tawaf al-ifada, it is a pillar for Hajj, and Hajj will not be completed except by bringing it. We do not know any difference of opinion with regards to this. And this is as if he's transmitting a consensus. According to what he knows, there's no difference of opinion with regards to this issue. All of the fuqaha have an agreement that tawaf al-ifada is a pillar. It's an obligation. It must be brought. It cannot be left. And also, this is based upon the statement of Allah, the Most High, and that Allah, the Most High, he says, and that you must make the tawaf around the ancient home. Any meaning around the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Shaykh, he says, Qala ibn Abd al-Barr. Ibn Abd al-Barr, he says, rahimahullah, huwa min fara'id al-hajji. Huwa min fara'id الحج لا خلاف في ذلك بين العلماء. That this is from the obligations, the fara'id. And we have seen in previous studies that many times the fuqaha, they use the word rukn. Some will use the word rukn, and others they use the word fard, and they mean the same thing. They mean the same thing. Some they'll call a particular action or right of actions of worship. They'll call it fard. Others they call it rukn, and they mean the same thing. And they mean the same thing. So here in this case, fard, it means the strongest obligation. The strongest obligation. Yani the rukn, the one that must be there. So Ibn Abdul Bar, he's saying, Rahimahullah, huwa min fara'id al-hajj ila khilafa fi dhalika bayna al-ulama. That this tawaf here is from those fara'id, from the arkan, from those certain obligations. From the rites of al-hajj, there's no difference between the scholars with regards to this. There's no difference between the scholars with regards to this. So the people of knowledge, whenever we read in the books of the fuqaha, for example, Al-Mughni, this is one of the larger books, and this is similar to the work of An-Nawawi, called Al-Majmu' from the Shafi'i Madhab, and there are other works likewise in the Maliki Madhab, Al-Mudawwana, and other very famous works also, as well in the Hanafi Madhab. They all have their books of fiqh. Some of them are summarized, and some of them are larger, and some of them are very large. And very large. From the large ones, this one, the Mughni, and likewise the Majmu' and other ones as well. So whenever a student is studying and researching in these books, as has proceeded, it's very important to understand the terminology of the people of knowledge as to not get confused. So this pillar here, which we're discussing, is called Tawaf Al-Ifadah. And the terminology of the people of knowledge, they refer to it with a number of different names. From that Al-Ifadah, and it's Al-Ifadah, it means to go out, to leave. Yani ifadah, meaning this, they call it tawaf al-ifadah because the hajj has already left. He went to Arafah and he left. He left down. And then he went to Muzdalifah and he left down. And then even likewise, most correct, then he went to Mina and then he left out. So he made the ifadah min Arafah, from Arafah to Muzdalifah, from Muzdalifah to Mina. And then he went and made this tawaf. He made this tawaf. At least he's going to have to go from Arafah to Muzdalifah. And then to the tawaf. But best in the sunnah is to go from Muzdalifah in the morning time to Mina and then to Mecca. And then to Mecca. So from here, it's also called tawaf al-ziyara. Tawaf al-ziyara, the tawaf of the visit. Because now, on the 10th day, the day of Eid, the Hajj, he is coming back from Muzdalifah to Mina. And then he's going to go to Mecca to visit and make tawaf and then come back to spend the next few days in Mina. He's going to come back and spend the 10th and the 11th and the 12th and the 13th in Mina if he stays the whole time, or at least the 10th and the 11th and 12th. At least the 10th and 11th and 12th. He's going to stay either 2 or 3 days after that. So this is the reason why it's also known as Tawaf al-Ziyara. So if it's referred to Tawaf al-Ziyara, Tawaf al-Ziyara or Tawaf al-Ifadah, it's the same thing. Others, they call it Tawaf al-Rukn, or they call it Tawaf al-Fard, and they mean the same thing. Tawaf al-Ifadah. Tawaf al-Ifadah. Some of the people I'm not, they refer to it as Tawaf al-Sadr. Tawaf al-Sadr, because they bring that ba'da al-Suduri min Mina. And they come back to Mina and then they leave out. They leave out from Mina. So some of the people of knowledge, I refer to it in this manner. So these are the names with regards to this pillar. The people of knowledge, they have mentioned the time for this begins after midnight, and after going from Arafah, on the day of Arafah, after Maghrib, going to Muzdalifah, spending the night in Muzdalifah until at least the middle of the night, this is the first opportunity one will have to perform this tawaf al-ifadah. But better than leaving at that time is to stay in Muzdalifah all the way until Fajr, and to pray the Fajr, and then to sit and to make dua, and to make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until just before the sunrise, and then to leave and go to Mina. And then to leave and go to Mina and stone the Jamra, and then from there go to Mecca to make this tawaf. But it's allowed to make it before that, so long as one, he was in Arafah and then in Muzdalifah until at least the middle of the night. The middle of the night. As for the limit, how long it lasts, there's no end for that. There's no end for that. It should be performed, before those 3 days are up, or at least before Dhul Hijjah is over. Any for those who have an excuse, a person who should not delay it with no excuse after the month of Dhul Hijjah. But the point is that if a person here were to get sick or something were to happen, then it doesn't fall off. It's still a pillar. He's still allowed to make it, even if he forgot or he didn't know and he came all the way home in the lights like this, and it's a year later. It's a year later, he still has to perform it. It's not too late, and he still has to perform it. Those rights are still upon him. There's details about these affairs. And this is the issue in general related to Tawaf al-Ifadah, which is the pillar for al-Hajj. Now we discuss the pillar for Umrah, the Tawaf, which is a pillar for al-Umrah. He says, حفظه الله والطواف للعمرة أول طواف يأتي به المعتمر إذا قدم مكة. Then the Tawaf, which is a pillar for Umrah, is the first Tawaf that the Mu'tamir will perform whenever he comes to Mecca. And the one who comes to Mecca and he enters in the state of Ihram with the intention to perform Umrah, the first thing he will do, he will come to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal and he will make Tawaf. This Tawaf here is the Tawaf Umrah. Tawaf Umrah. This is the pillar for Umrah. For Umrah. So the Shaykh, he says, قَالَ فِي بِدَاعَةِ الْمُجْتَهِدِ قَالَ فِي بِدَاعَةِ الْمُجْتَهِدِ بِدَاعَةِ الْمُجْتَهِدِ, this is a book by Ibn Rushd al-Maliki, rahimahullah ta'ala, which is also fiqh muqarana. Fiqh muqarana, meaning that he will not only mention the madhab of Maliki, rather he'll mention the madhab, all of them, the four madhab and others likewise, from the fuqaha even before the four imams, with a focus on the four imams. This is a great work here. It's called بِدَاعَةِ الْمُجْتَهِدِ وَنِهَايَةِ الْمُقْتَسِدِ. Yani, it's a very, very beneficial work. And this work here, whenever we were in the university, it was the main book that is studied in Kulit al-Sharia. And also, it's the main book that was studied for the subject of fiqh in the Kuliyah of Hadith. In the Kuliyah of Hadith, we studied this book, alhamdulillah. It's very beneficial. Bidayat al-Mujtahid wa Nihayat al-Muqtasid. They changed the book now because I think it was difficult for some people. So he says in this work, Ibn Rushd, rahimahullah, أَجْمَعُوا عَلَى أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ عَلَى الْمُعْتَمِرِ إِلَّا طَوَافُ الْقُدُومِ. They have a consensus. The people of knowledge have a consensus that there is no tawaf that is an obligation upon the person making umrah except for tawaf al-qudum. Tawaf al-qudum. Al-qudum means arriving, the tawaf of arrival. So this is what he's mentioning here. The Shaykh, he said, hafidhahullah, that the tawaf, which is a pillar for umrah, is the first tawaf that one will perform upon arrival to Mecca. So the one who enters into the state of al-Ihram, and then he comes to Mecca, and he enters the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the first thing upon arrival that he will do is make tawaf. So from here, it's called tawaf al-qudum, yani, but it's really tawaf umrah, and the right of a person making umrah, which is a pillar, which is a pillar. He must make this tawaf. He must make this tawaf. The Shaykh, he says, أي طواف العمرة, meaning طواف القدوم أي طواف العمرة. What is referred to now with regards to Umrah, the طواف of arrival, meaning the طواف of Umrah. وقال ابن قدامة في المغني, ابن قدامة, he mentioned in المغني رحمه الله في معرض الاستدلال لكون طواف الإفاضة ركنا في الحج, that ابن قدامة, he mentioned in the his work the مغني, whenever he is discussing the issue of evidences, the issue of presenting evidence for the fact that Tawaf al-Ifadah is a pillar for Hajj. At the same time, he mentions in this context, rahimahullah, qala wa li anna al-hajj ahadu an-nusukayn fa kana tawafu ruknan kal-umrah. And this is because Hajj is one of the two sacred rites of these affairs. And with regards to the rites related to the house of Allah, there's two. There's Hajj and there's Umrah. There's Hajj and there's Umrah. Fa kana tawafu ruknan kal umrah. So the tawaf for Hajj is a pillar likewise, just as it's a pillar for Umrah. Just as it's a pillar for Umrah. So a pillar, tawaf is a pillar for Hajj, just as it's a pillar for Umrah. Just as it is a pillar for Umrah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So the Shaykh, he says now, wa umrah tu lughatan az-ziyara. Wa umrah tu lughatan az-ziyara. The word umrah, linguistically, in the Arabic language, it means az-ziyara. It means az-ziyara, to make visit, to visit, to visit. Wa fi shar'i ziyaratu al-bayti al-atiqi lit-tawafi bihi was-sa'i bayna as-safa wal-marwa. And in the legislation, the definition of al-umrah is to visit the ancient house, the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in order to make tawaf and to go to make a tawaf around it and to go back and forth to make the sa'i between al-Safa and al-Marwa. And then he says, وَقَدْ طَافَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ بِالْبَيْتِ وَسَعَ بَيْنَ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَى فِي عُمْرَتَيْ الْقَضَاءِ وَالْجِعْرَانَ وَالْجِعْرَانَ. And the very, and indeed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he made the tawaf around the house and he made the sa'i between Safa and Marwa in both of his umrahs, whenever he made Umrah al-Qadha and whenever he made the umrah from al-Ji'rana sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh, he wants to mention here that in the Umar, and every time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made Umrah, it was mentioned that he made it in this way. He made tawaf, and then after that, he made sa'i. He made tawaf, and then after that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made sa'i, clarifying that these are actions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he performed consistently and persistently whenever he made the sacred rites of Umrah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa rawa al-Bukhari wa muslimun and Amr ibn Dinar, annahu qal, and al-Bukhari and Muslim, they both narrated from the narration of Amr ibn Dinar, rahimahullah, who's from the Tabi'in, and from the best of them, and from the narrators of Hadith. Annahu qala, sa'alna ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma an rajulin tafa bil bayti fi umratin, wa lam yatuf bayna safa wal marwa, ayyati imra'atahu. So he says, Amr ibn Dinar, he says, we asked ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma about a man who made tawaf around the house in Umrah. He made tawaf around the house in Umrah, but he did not make sa'i between Safa and Marwa. Is it allowed for him to have relations with, to have intercourse with his wife? فَقَالَ قَدِمَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فَطَافَ بِالْبَيْتِ سَبْعًا وَصَلَّ خَلْفَ الْمَقَامِ رَكْعَتَيْنِ وَطَافَ بَيْنَ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَى سَبْعًا وَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Ibn Umar, in his response to this, he says that indeed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he arrived in Mecca and he made tawaf around the house 7 times. And then he prayed behind the maqam of Ibrahim 2 rak'ah. And then he went back and forth between Safa and Marwa 7 times. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And indeed you have in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam the best example and role model. The best example and role model. The people of Nada, they mentioned that he's saying, no, it's not allowed for him to have sexual intercourse with his wife until he performs these rites. Until he performs these rites. So these affairs here, they're from the pillars, and this is the point. And this is the point. The Shaykh, he mentioned al-Umrah lugatan al-ziyara. Lugatan al-ziyara. Umrah linguistically, lugatan al-ziyara. What is it legislatively? Shar'an, ziyaratu baytillahi al-haram, lil-tawafi bihi, wa-sa'i bayna al-safa wal-marwa, wal-halqi awa-taksir, wal-halqi awa-taksir, taqarruban ila Allahi azza wa jal. Taqarruban ila Allahi azza wa jal. So this is the definition of Umrah. And likewise, the definition of Hajj. Hajj, it is linguistically, lugatan al-qasd. Al-qasd, you need to intend to go somewhere. Some of the people of Nada mentioned to intend to go somewhere repetitively or time after time or to go to some place that is honored and respected and revered. And this is the linguistic meaning of al-hajj, of al-hajj. You say hajja yuhujju hujja hajjan. Hajja yuhujju hujja hajjan. So al-hajj al-qasd, al-qasd. But legislatively, yani shar'an, qasdu baytillahi al-haram li-adai al-manasik. Yani manasik al-hajj. Fi zamanin makhsus taqarruban ila Allahi azza wa jal. في زمن مخصوص تقربا إلى الله عز وجل. So we have seen that the Umrah and the Hajj, they share in some of these pillars. They share in some of these pillars, but there's a difference between the two of them, and that is from the aspect that there's an additional pillar in Hajj, and that is to be present on Arafah, on the day of Arafah, in the place known as Arafah. And also there's a difference between Hajj and Umrah, and that is the time. That is the time. Hajj, it has a specific time. Hajj, it has a specific time. It must be performed in that time. It's not allowed to perform it before nor after that time. Before or after that time. It's performed in a specific time. As for Umrah, there's no specific time. It's open all year long. A person, he can perform Umrah in any month of the year, alhamdulillah. And it's legislated and lawful. And it's legislated and lawful. Here, if we go back, barakallahu fikum, to that which has proceeded with regards to the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked about Safiyyah radiallahu anha. There are some benefits that the people of knowledge have derived from here, other than that which is related to this chapter. And it's important to mention them and to realize them and to understand. It's related to creed, alhamdulillah. And that is that no one knows the unseen except for Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal, He's the creator and the provider and the sustainer, the one who knows all things, and nothing is hidden from Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for His creation, then they do not know the unseen. And they're only allowed to know what Allah allows them to know. And maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant revelation information to some of the creation and prefer them with that. But in general, no one knows the unseen except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of those who ascribe to al-Islam, especially from the deviant sects like the Sufiya and the Rafidah and the likes, they go to extremes in their praise and love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some of them, they claim even that the Prophet, he knows the unseen. Even they claim that even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knows the unseen. But here in this narration, we see that he did not even know that one of his wives was on her menses. He did not even know that one of his wives was on her menses, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he does not know the unseen. And likewise, he did not know that she had already performed tawaf al-ifada likewise, and she is his wife in his company on journey with him, on the journey with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he's unaware of these affairs. But he's unaware of these affairs. He's unaware of the fact that one of his wives is on the menses, and he's unaware likewise that she already performed tawaf al-ifada. This is very clear, and in reality from the badihiyat, any of the things that a person, he doesn't have to think about, it's already well known. But because many are in severe ignorance, waliyadhu billah, and great deviation, they have caused doubts to enter into some of the minds of the believers, and some of them, they even follow these ways. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he does not know the unseen. He does not know the unseen. Only Allah Azza wa Jal, he knows the unseen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he ordered his Prophet to say in his book, Qul, and he say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يعلم من في السماوات والأرض الغيب إلا الله. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no one knows the unseen in the heavens and the earth. No one knows that which is unseen. No one knows the unseen in the heavens and the earth except for Allah. And likewise, Allah, he says, قل, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا أقول لكم عندي خزائن الله ولا أعلم الغيب ولا أقول لكم إني مالك إن أتبع إلا ما يوحى إلي. Allah, he says, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا أقول لكم عندي خزائن الله. Say to them, I'm not telling you that I have the treasures of Allah. ولا أعلم غيب, and I do not know the unseen. ولا أقول لكم إني مالك, and I'm not saying to you I'm an angel. إن أتبع إلا ما يوحى إلي. I only follow that which is revealed to me. I only follow that which is revealed to me. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he only follows that which is revealed to him. And if Allah did not guide him by revelation, then he would not be guided, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah favored the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with guidance. With guidance. When ihtadaytu fabima yuhi ilayya rabbi. And if I'm guided, then it's because of what my Lord has revealed to me. So guidance is in following the revelation that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these affairs are clear. No one knows the unseen except for Allah. And even at one time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into his home, and there were some little girls singing some poetry, like on the day of Eid, for example. And one of them said in their lines of poetry, وَإِنَّ فِينا نَبِيٌ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي غَدٍ. And we have amongst us a prophet. He knows what will happen tomorrow. He knows what will happen tomorrow. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he reprimanded them and he said, do not say that. Do not say that. لا يعلم ما في غد إلا الله. No one knows what will happen tomorrow except for Allah. So these are some of the benefits that the people of knowledge have derived from the likes of these narrations. So although the narration is related to the issue of the rites of Hajj and Umrah and the journey of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Fiyawa pilgrimage, those who learn the biography of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in detail, they will be able to see the clear and proper creed and have a good understanding of the religion by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. As for those who never study the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not in aqidah and not in fiqh, and not even learning his biography in his way, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then many times they'll be overcome by whims and desires and misled by doubts and misconceptions, waliyadhu billah. So as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fid din. Whomsoever Allah wants good for, He'll grant him an understanding and the religion. So a believer, male and female, must strive to gain an understanding and the religion by having time in their life to study and to learn, and having money likewise for this affair, and ready and diligent to learn and to benefit, and to humble oneself, and to sit in the gatherings of knowledge with the people of the Sunnah. With the people of the Sunnah. And indeed, this is a great, great blessing and favor, and a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for a slave. So the author, he says now, moving on to the third pillar from the pillars of Hajj and Umrah, والسعي للعمرة بعد الطواف كما تقدم من فعله صلى الله عليه وسلم في عمرتي القضاء والجعرانة وحديث ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما. So السعي really it means to hasten. سَيَسْعَى سَعْيًا to hasten. To hasten also means to work. In some contexts it could mean to hasten, like to run. In other contexts it could mean to work and to strive hard and make effort. To strive hard and to make effort. What is intended by sa'i here is to go back and forth from Safa to Marwa. From Safa to Marwa. You go seven times. You start as Safa and you go from Safa to Marwa. This is one time. And then you come back from Marwa to Safa. This is two times. And you do this seven times until you end on Marwa. Until you end on Marwa. You begin on Safa and you end on Marwa. Going one way is considered one. You go one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. And you end on Marwa. And you end on Marwa. So this is what we're discussing now. He's saying that the sa'i for Umrah is after Tawaf. It's after Tawaf. The sa'i for Umrah is after Tawaf. Just as has preceded in the two Umrahs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Qadha wal-Ji'rana. Al-Qadha wal-Ji'rana. The Umrah to Al-Qadha, yani it's whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made a treaties with the mushrikeen and the truce, in the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, that they would not make Umrah that year, but they'll come back the next year and make Umrah. This one is known as Umrah to Al-Qadha. Yani they made the judgment and the rule, they made the judgment and the truce between the two parties, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back. And then later after that, likewise after the conquest of Mecca, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Al-Hunayn for the battle. On the way back, he stopped in a place called Al-Ji'rana. And then from there he made Umrah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in these Umrahs here, he's mentioning that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the Tawaf, and then after that he made the Sa'i. So the issue now that we're discussing is that the sa'i for Umrah, which is a pillar, must be after Tawaf. With me? After Tawaf. This is what he's affirming here. So he says, وَالسَّعِيُ لِلْحَجِّ فِي حَقِّ الْمُتَمَتِّعِ بَعْدَ طَوَافِ الْإِفَاضَةِ. And the sa'i for Hajj, in the right of the one who's performing tamattu', is after Tawaf al-Ifadah. Is after Tawaf al-Ifadah. So the person who made Hajj tamattu', which is, Allah knows best, the most virtuous and preferred way of making it Hajj, the one that if one of us were to make Hajj, he should perform, and Allah knows best, and it's encouraged to perform, this sa'i for Hajj will be after Tawaf al-Ifadah, which has preceded. وَأَمَّا الْقَارِنُ وَالْمُفْرِدُ فَبَعْدَ طَوَافِ الْقُدُومِ أَوْ بَعْدَ طَوَافِ الْإِفَاضَةِ. As for the person making Al-Qiran or Al-Ifrad, then he can make this sa'i either after Tawaf al-Qudum or after Tawaf al-Ifadah. The rites of Al-Hajj and Al-Umrah, there are many. The rites and the rulings related to Al-Hajj and Al-Umrah, there are many. And for the first time studying these affairs, sometimes it can be heavy. Sometimes it can be difficult. Likewise for the second time, especially if a person, he never made Hajj himself or Umrah. But if one strives to pay attention and they're sincere, inshallah, Allah will open their heart. So I know that some of you have not discussed these issues in detail, and maybe it's a bit difficult. But inshallah, I'll try to make it as easy as possible. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to facilitate. Discussing these affairs here, it will help you to be able to visualize these issues, performing hajjs in three manners: at-tamattu', wal-qiran, wal-ifrad. So at-tamattu' is whenever a person, he will come for Hajj, but he will come before the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, and he will make Umrah first. He'll come, for example, next week. Next week, the 1st, 2nd, or 3rd of Dhul-Hijjah to Mecca, and he'll make Umrah. And then he will stay in Mecca, and he will wait And he will wait for the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. He'll wait for the days of Hajj. Hajj begins on the 9th, but really the 8th. And the pilgrims on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, they go to Mina. And then on the 9th, they go to Arafah. And then that night, they go to Muzdalifah. And then the next day, they go back to Mina. And then they visit the house of Allah Azza wa Jal for the ziyarah, tawaf ziyarah. And then they come back and they stay in Mina, the 11th, 12th, and the 13th. 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. 11th, 12th, and the 13th. Like this. So these are the days and the times. And in those days, there's rites that they're performing. In those days, there's rites that they're performing. So this is the general affair. So the one who makes the mentor, he's going to make Umrah. He's going to come to Mecca before the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, make Umrah. And then finish and come out of his ihram. He's going to enter into ihram, make Umrah entirely, and come out of his ihram. And then he's going to wait until the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, and the morning time he's going to come back into the ihram for Hajj now. And then he's going to perform the rites of Hajj, and he will finish and come out of the ihram. So he's making, in one journey, he's making Umrah and Hajj. But he makes an entire Umrah and finishes, and then he makes entire Hajj and finishes, all in one journey, all at In the same days. Everybody's with me? This is called tamattu'. So he makes tamattu', he's going to come to Mecca, make Umrah. And he's going to come out of Ihram. Then he's going to sit until Hajj begins. And then he's going to get back into Ihram and make Hajj. And then he's going to come out of Ihram and he's finished with the rites of tamattu' in this manner. Everybody's with me? The second aspect is called Qiran. And this person, he's making Umrah and Hajj also, but he's only going to perform the actions of Hajj. And Umrah is just an intention that he has. He has the intention to do Umrah and Hajj together. His intention for Umrah is included in his Hajj, but he's not going to do any actions of Umrah. Rather, he's only going to do the actions of Hajj. So he's going to make Ihram one time for Hajj, but his intention is to make Hajj and Umrah. So he's making both rites at the same time, but he only does the actions of Hajj. Only does the actions of Hajj. This is called Qiran. This is called Qiran. The third aspect is Al-Ifrad. Al-Ifrad. So Al-Ifrad is whenever a person, he makes Hajj only. He comes to Mecca to make Hajj only, not to make Umrah, and nor with the intention to make Umrah. He's only coming to intend to perform the rites of Hajj only. You understand? So the one who makes tamattu', he comes and he makes Umrah. He has the intention to make Umrah, and he makes Umrah entirely. He does it physically, and then he finishes. Then after a couple of days, when Hajj begins, he goes back into Ihram, and now he makes Hajj until he finishes. This one is called Tamattu'. So he performed these rites, then he performed those rites, all in the same journey, all in the same time. You understand? In the days of Hajj. As for the he goes home with Umrah and Hajj. As for the Qiran, he also goes home with Umrah and Hajj, but he doesn't do as much as the Mutamattu'. Rather, he only does the actions of Hajj. But he has the intention for Umrah, so he has the reward of that likewise. So if Hajj, as we mentioned, Hajj and Umrah, they're both an obligation. So a person, he could come with the intention to perform Hajj Qiran, and he will just make Hajj. But he has the intention for Umrah, so the Umrah is included there. So that rite is lifted. You understand? So he's only going to perform the rites of Hajj, but in his intention, he is performing along with that Umrah. This is similar sometimes. Sometimes the intention can be, you can make tashriq in certain affairs. For example, in the morning time, we pray the two sunnah for fajr, right? But likewise, when you enter the masjid, there also is the sunnah for tahiyat al-masjid. So would you come in and pray two for tahiyat al-masjid, and then after that pray two for fajr? La. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's only been narrated from him as narrated by Salama radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا طَلَعَ الْفَجْرِ لَمْ يُصَلِّ إِلَّا رَكَتَيْنِ خَفِيفَتَيْنِ. If Fajr entered, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not pray anything except for two light rak'ah. So that means if you come into the masjid in the time for Fajr, then you can have the intention to pray tahiyat al-masjid along with the intention of praying the sunnah of Fajr. So you get the reward for both. Everybody's with me? Similar like this, the same idea here. The person who's coming for Hajj to make Qiran, in his intention, he's making Umrah and Hajj together. And the Umrah is included in his actions of Hajj. Because they share in so many rites. You understand? So he will leave by, he will perform Hajj only, those actions, but he will leave with Hajj and Umrah. Alhamdulillah, from the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. Everybody's with me? The third aspect is called Al-Ifrad. And this is whenever he only has the intention to make Hajj only. He will come for Hajj, make Hajj, and leave with Hajj only, no Umrah. He didn't perform Umrah, he didn't intend Umrah, and he only has Umrah. All of these three rights were legislated in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they remain legislated to this day until the day of resurrection. It's mentioned in authentic narrations that Isa will come alayhi salatu wasalam, and he will make hajj with one of these three. He will make hajj with one of these three rights. Any indication that they remain until the day of resurrection, that these rights, they remain. So he's referring to these issues here now. So the one who makes tamattu', he's going to come first to make umrah. So that means whenever he arrives in Mecca, he arrives with the intention to make umrah. So then the one who has the intention to make umrah, whenever he first arrives, the first thing he does is makes tawaf. And that tawaf is called tawaf umrah. This is this pillar for his umrah. As for the one who's making qiran, or as for the one who's making ifrad, also he's going to come with ihram and enter Mecca. And whenever he arrives to Mecca, it's also legislated for him to make tawaf. But this tawaf here is, in his right, sunnah. It's called tawaf al-qudum. His tawaf is for upon arriving. It's a sunnah. He'll make tawaf upon arrival just for the sunnah. As for the tawaf, which is the pillar we've seen, that's after Muzdalifah. That's called tawaf al-ifadah. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.